From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio,
this is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. WMVP WSAG HD2, Chicago.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000, and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
A lot of good reminiscing about the old school ways to watch TV with the TV channel guide. Waddle was just talking about the voice command, how great that is.
That is arguably the best invention of the last several years from a technology.
Just speaking into your remote and say, play American Rust. Yeah. And then it goes to American Rust.
I'm a pretty simple cat. I get it.
I know you
but
are.
But that's for me is provides tremendous, whatever the correct word would be, convenience.
Yes. Let me get to Adam Amin here in a second. I want to set the table for everybody. You can watch the show. You can listen to the show. You can interact with the show by following us on Twitch. It's twitch.tv. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. It's easy to do. Download that Twitch app. Type into your computer twitch.tv and then search for ESPN1000Chicago. It's brought to you today by 3Chi. Great way to listen, watch, and interact with other listeners and us as well. Any questions that you may have. There are multiple reports that there could be a deal soon on Deshaun Watson heading to Miami. And another team could get involved with Tua, that it doesn't look like Tua would go to Houston. So we're monitoring that. Brady said some interesting things about Aaron Rodgers today and the Bears. We'll get into that. The Jalen Johnson being late and posting it to social media with his fine is something that we discussed. The Bulls are back. The Hawks lost. It's a good Major League Baseball postseason. Speak about all that. Someone who covers them all. But, of course, he is the voice of the Chicago Bulls on television. You watch him on NBC Sports Chicago. He joins us right now live from the Motor City in Detroit. Adam Amin joins us on the Corona Hotline. What's up, Adam?
How is the hip for Tommy? I was very concerned when I watched the video today, and I got tagged in it, so naturally I saw it.
Just a cramp, you know. I mean, it's just I ran on my treadmill today, and sometimes, you know, I have an adverse reaction to the simplest of exercises.
You know, Adam, so. He played football, so he tends to cramp up in the hip.
Listen, like I was sitting there watching you berate our friend Tommy, right there on this video.
He's an ass.
Why is he crushing him here? Because I got out of the gym today, and I couldn't move my hand. Like I couldn't. Like walk properly after, you know, 15-minute heavy weight workout. So what? How can I?
Adam, it's like, listen, it's like a reflex. You know, I mean, it's like a reflex for him. Anytime you have any conversation, you play. It's like the silliest, most immature thing that anyone could say.
You guys are adorable. You know that? I love you. I really adore you guys.
And while we're hugging it out and everything like this, I got to tell you. The booth that you guys put together for the White Sox series, you had multiple games in that Sox series. And first of all, it's not like you do games every day with AJ. But then to add a current player like you guys did in Wainwright and one that I hate to begin with and make it a seamless booth and an entertaining booth, you guys did great work on Fox.
Yes.
No, it's kind of you guys to say, seriously. And it's to a testament to both of those guys, honestly. It really is. AJ, if that guy wants to manage, I honestly believe he could. I'm convinced that it would take a perfect opportunity for him to do it, but I honestly believe that if the right opportunity came along, he would do it, and I think he'd actually be very good at it. The old adage about catchers and the way they see the game, it's that. Like, that was on air, and he was thinking two steps ahead, and he was critical when he needed to be, and he was thinking a lot of the same things that Sox fans who watch the team every day were thinking, why isn't Kopech in the game here, et cetera, et cetera. Like, he was ahead of those things. So I give him a lot of credit. Both of those guys are a treat to work with. Waino's in it, you know, so obviously he's got perspective that nobody else has for the time being that's on TV. So it was awesome. It was great to work with two guys that care about the game and enjoy hanging out with each other. They're former teammates.
I echo Sylvie's sentiments. I thought it was a great watch. It was fun to watch. You guys did a fabulous job. I'm also interested to see this Bulls team. What, paint us a picture of what your expectations are, especially early this season, with a group of players that I think has got this entire city buzzing.
I agree. I'm trying to temper them right now, like my to myself. Like I've listened to every podcast and watched the preview shows and done all my prep and gone through the notes and looked at the schedule, and you kind of weigh all these things together, and here are the two sides of where my head is at. I believe that this, at its best, if they put it together right out of the gate and are running the floor, are getting deflections constantly, and are getting 15 to 25 points, you know, via transition or fast break every night, then yeah, this at its best, with a little bit of luck, could be like the 3 seed. Who knows what happens around the rest of the conference, right? You know, who knows what Philadelphia is going to look like? Who knows if New York's going to be able to replicate what they did last year? Who knows if Atlanta is going to be able to do what they did last year? I don't know what Miami is going to be depth-wise. So if everything fell into place, I really believe this is as good as a 3 seed as, you know, you could put out a starting lineup that could be a 3 seed. Now, if I look at the schedule, if I think of other great teams that have put together a handful of great players, it typically takes 10 to 20 games to figure it out. And I know they looked great in the preseason, and they have a lot of rotations to figure out. But I think tempering my expectations, I think this is a 5 or 6 seed, and I think it's a team that could win 44, 45 games if you extrapolate what you had last year into an 82-win season or 82-game season and then look at the talent that they added. I think a 5 or a 6 seed is a very reasonable, high expectation, and I think at its peak, it's like 3-4 territory where you're like, a lot of things went right and everybody's playing well.
Adam, one reason why I'm so optimistic about this year is because I believe it's still a fairly high floor for this team, because you have proven all-stars like DeRozan, Vooch, and Zach, and then you still have the high ceiling. It's not like they put together this just random roster to get to the 7th seed, that Lonzo Ball is still getting better. Patrick Williams is still getting better. Kobe White is still getting better. And their best player may still be getting better in Zach LaVine.
The trajectory is good, right? Everything, every move that's been made, every quote that you've heard about, you know, how this guy knows this guy was teammates with him, these guys are both from the same area, this guy scouted this guy 10 years ago, all the things that you've heard, and every move that's been made that's corresponded to everything that you've heard over the last, I would say, 10 months, it feels like the trajectory has all been pointing forward, and it's a bunch of people who are making the decisions that have a real good pulse for A, what guys want, what players are looking for in terms of relationships with coaches, with other players, and they seem to have an idea as to what it takes chemistry-wise and what it takes skill set-wise to function with the current roster and salary, the salary cap that the league has. Like, it's a bunch of professionals running the show, and that, to me, says a lot about what Arturis Karnišovičs has done, what Mark Eversley has done, what J.J. Pope has done, to bring in Donovan and every corresponding move since. So the trajectory with everything you're feeling, Sylvie, I very much agree that all the right moves have been put into place to make this a legitimate playoff contender. Okay, I'm not going to go far and say this is clearly a championship team right now. We don't know. But a playoff contender, a team that can win a series based on the talent and personnel that's out there, yeah, why not? I believe that's absolutely in the cards.
Do you believe that maybe the one guy that will take his game to Zach's their best player, but can we look back possibly at the end of this year and say, wow, Lonzo Ball found a home, he found a way to play this game, and this guy not only excelled on his own, but is going to be one of the focal points of this team for years and years to come?
I hope so. And I think based on why he came here, it seems like that could be the case, because in Los Angeles, he was trying to figure himself out. He's a quiet guy. Like, he's got a rap album. He's been on, you know, Masked Singer. He's done some like stuff that's out there. But he's, for the most part, for a very popular NBA player who's been on display to the nation since he was 15, 16 years old, he's a very quiet, demeanored guy. And I think he just wanted to figure out how to play basketball at this level. LeBron didn't want to play with him, really. He got hurt while he was in L.A. That didn't help. He gets packaged in the Davis deal, and now he's got to take a backseat to both Zion Williamson, who comes in that first year, and to Brandon Ingram, who's a budding star. So his trajectory has been up and down, trying to figure out, well, what am I supposed to do? And instead of re-signing in New Orleans or you know, he could have went somewhere else, I'm sure. Chicago made it a point to say, we want you here. We want you to play as you. He is a deft ball handler. He has excellent court vision. He's a lengthy perimeter defender, and he's an improving three-point shooter. All of those things signal to me that it's a guy who is willing to put in work. He's changed his shot over the course of his career. He's looked very smooth as a shooter so far. I think he adds a lot of value to a team that desperately needed somebody to have the skill set and physical tools that he has around Zach LaVine. He's the perfect complement to, I think, what Zach LaVine has already established that he can do. And I hope that that's a tandem that has success early and often.
Adam Amin joining us. He's in Detroit. He's got the Bulls tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. Alex Caruso, this is a match made in heaven, right? He's going to be beloved in this city.
Fan favorite right out of the gate. And, you know, I'm sure I'll mention this a couple times in the early part of the season because, you know, not everybody hears it. Not everybody's listening to every word that we're spouting during a game. So we'll probably mention this a few times. But LeBron James talked very highly about playing with Alex Caruso. And the New York Times article headline that I remember is, Alex Caruso is the LeBron James of playing with LeBron James. And what it's essentially telling me that he's one of the best role players that LeBron has ever played with. Is Alex Caruso going to be a 20-point-a-night scorer at any point in his career? Probably not. Is he going to be a 45% three-point shooter? Probably not. But everything he does is consistent. It is at a high-quality level. It is at a level that is really in sync with the other four guys that are on the floor. He's proven he can play with any lineup. The Lakers put him as the starter in Game 6 of the finals. He was part of closing lineups with LeBron and Anthony Davis. And you don't get in that mix unless you're an elite scorer. You don't get in that mix unless you hustle, unless you play good defense, and unless you know the playbook and you know every movement of every guy on the floor. And for the most part, this guy seems like he really has a handle on the offensive sets. And more importantly, and you guys know this because this was a team that was getting better defensively and now is more athletic, this is a guy who knows defense. He knows when to fill a gap. He knows when to step up. He knows when to hedge. He knows when to divert or funnel. All of these things he has a very, very good feel for, and he hustles his butt off, and he makes good passes. Everything that leads to energy, he brings. And naturally, that's going to bring out a lot of cheers when you're at home, and the more he does that, the more fired up a home crowd's going to get. All of those acts lead to good things on the floor.
And speaking of bench, is Io going to play early, or is he going to get some DNPs and learn the ropes?
I think it's probably going to be learning the ropes a little bit. I'm not seeing, especially with all of the other guys that need to find minutes on the floor together, especially if you get into some close games, which I think they're going to get to in the early part of this season. Maybe, you know, I don't know what the first week's going to look like, but the schedule gets really tough after the first four games. So I imagine there's going to be a lot of minutes in the fourth quarter that you didn't see in the preseason reserved for, you know, your one or two combo line, you know, combos that are going to be closing games over the course of the season. So I'm going to guess that Io's going to take a backseat for a little while and kind of learn what's going on.
And then you have Bears and 49ers, right, in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, on Halloween with Greg Olson. So I'm going to jump ship for a week and get to stay home for a while and watch figure out what the offense for the 49ers looks like and figure out what the Bears are going to look like in 2 weeks.
Another great broadcast duo.
Yes.
Greg Olson is rising
very
the ranks
good,
quickly.
Yes.
Very sharp.
Yeah.
Very sharp. Well, I'm looking forward to jumping in with him for a week.
All right, so a tip, what time, when can we watch tonight on NBC Sports Chicago?
Yep, 5:30, Goff and the boys will have the pregame show. We'll do a little crossover, I would imagine, on night one. And then 6 o'clock, we'll be on air, and we'll have a tip-off a few minutes after that. So looking forward to it.
Can't wait to watch you, especially with crowds this year. Yep. Adam, great stuff.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, boys.
Adam Amin. He is awesome. He does the NFL, he does the Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball playoffs, and he's the voice of the Chicago Bulls.
I'm with you, too. And what you talked about early on about that baseball booth was unbelievable.
Great.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, really, really good. 312-332-3776. Got the nuttiest story of the day that we owe you. Also, Tom Brady goes in on the Aaron Rodgers troll. We'll play that for you coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
You know this, Waddle, that when Danny, Carmen, and I go to Tampa with our sons, not only did we want to take this trip so our kids could see the goat play and say that they had seen the best play ever when they get older. You know, Brady could hit a milestone this weekend. He is two touchdowns away from career touchdown 600. 600.
He's also setting another NFL record with the amount of space between himself, age-wise, and the other starting quarterback.
Right.
Now, he's going to break that over and over and over and
over. As long as he keeps playing against rookie quarterbacks.
Right.
Yeah. The longer next year when the next young rookie quarterback is starting a game and Brady starts. But between him and Fields, it's the biggest gap of any quarterbacks, two starting quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
I thought the guys had a really good conversation this morning about what you're looking for as you guys go to this. And Danny said, look, I want to go there and watch Tom Brady ball out. I don't care that it's against my favorite football team, but we're taking the kids there to see the greatest of all time. He wants to see Tom Brady do his thing.
I don't fault Danny for saying that. I guess I missed this. Danny told me he got beaten up for this. In the perfect world, okay, my perfect scenario is going to Tampa, watching Tom Brady throw for five or six touchdowns, and Justin Fields going crazy, and the Bears winning by a field goal.
Sort of like when the Bucks went to L.A. and the Rams beat them, but Tom Brady had a 400-yard passing game.
Yeah. I want to be entertained. I mean, you could say, I want them to sack him nine times. Look, it's like when Michael Jordan used to go on the road. The ideal situation for any road crowd when they paid to go see Michael play was, I want to see Michael score 50 and I want the Knicks to win. You know, that's what they used to say. That's what you hope for. Yeah. Now, this is as much of a pipe dream probably as Knicks fans saying, we want to see Michael score 50 and the Knicks win, because usually Michael won. I'm going on the road. I don't think it's realistic to expect the Bears to win.
Okay, but this is my web poll question for you. You have to choose one or the other. Would you rather see, web poll? You have to choose one. You want to see Tom Brady absolutely ball out and beat your favorite team, or you want to see your favorite team win? What's most important to you?
My favorite team win.
Okay.
Yeah, look, because this is all to me as a Bears fan about Justin Fields. Okay? And if Justin Fields could find a way against that defense and against that quarterback to score more than the other team, than scoring more than Brady and his team on the road and winning not only in Vegas, but now winning in Tampa, that is, I want to come home that way. Again, I don't think they're going anywhere. But if it's Andy Dalton, I may have picked something else. But because I am so invested as a Bears fan in Justin Fields, I want the kid to find ways to win.
All realize if they beat the Bucs in Tampa on Sunday afternoon, it's going to be mostly because their defense is getting to Brady, forcing turnovers. The offense is going to have to do some stuff, but it's going to be because your strength actually rose to the occasion against their
strength. What's his low number? What's realistic? What are his low numbers for the year? What are they averaging points-wise?
Probably what he did in New England, wouldn't it be?
Yeah. And they still won that game.
Yes.
Barely. What was it, like 23-20 or something? 2017?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Patriots 19-17. And in that game, Tom Brady went 22 of 43 for 269 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions, because sacked one time. He had a quarterback rating of 70.8.
That would be the worst case situation. The Bears lose and Brady doesn't play well. I mean, I want to be entertained.
What the hell did we come here for?
Yeah, right.
Kids, put your eye patch on and put your pirate outfit on.
The guys were talking about, what is your first, memory of seeing someone famous not on your team. And this is one of the reasons why I wanted Mason to go to Tampa to see Brady. I still remember where he was in my grandparents' house. I was in their dining room, and we were eating dinner. And my grandfather, I told you, was an inaugural member of Bulls season ticket holders. 1966-67 was the first year that the Bulls played at the International Amphitheater on the south side of Chicago. They then moved to Chicago Stadium. I grew up, we had floor seats to the Bulls.
Not in Lakeview. It wasn't in Lakeview.
It wasn't in Lakeview. It was at the Chicago Stadium where the United Center is now, just across from Madison. And I was 6'7", somewhere in that, and the Philadelphia 76ers were coming to town. And my grandfather was telling me about us going to the game the next day. And he goes, Mark, I am going to take you to the game, and you are going to see a man who can fly. I still remember the conversation. And I remember he was talking about Dr. J.
Yeah.
And I remember being excited. The Bulls sucked. This was like late 70s. And I was getting to go to see the great Dr. J play basketball in the Chicago Stadium.
There was so many things about Dr. J that were appealing to me. Is this one when he was with the Nets, right?
Or
was
this, this was Philadelphia, right, when he just got to Philadelphia.
And who didn't love the red, white, and blue uniforms?
Yeah, of course.
The Sixers.
Like legendary. And I didn't know much about the NBA. The NBA wasn't really on TV then. I was only 6 or 7. But you know what I do? I still remember the conversation my grandfather had with me hyping the game. And like, I want Mason, he's 7, to when he grows up to remember the conversations we had about going to Tampa. And then this trip where he got to see this 44-year-old quarterback. How unheard of is that, who just won the Super Bowl playing against the Chicago Bears?
Do all the boys still believe they're going to meet Tom Brady?
He keeps asking me, and I'm like, no, you're not meeting Tom Brady. Maybe we can meet Cameron Bray.
I remember my grandfather telling me to get my feet off the plastic that was on the couch at his house.
Oh, were they a plastic family?
Yeah,
my great-grandma was.
Yeah.
Was.
Cinnamon hard candies and plastic on the furniture.
How is that a thing? How did people think that...
The most uncomfortable, you know, several hours sitting there watching Lawrence Welk on a couch that was covered in plastic.
Back in the day, the old relatives would buy new furniture, and they would have them coated in plastic. And it wasn't the thin plastic.
No.
It was a thick, uncomfortable plastic, so to save the couch from getting dirty.
It was like
you made your couch so uncomfortable.
It was like a raincoat for a couch.
So stupid.
It was a couch condom.
Oh, and a thick one at that.
And an uncomfortable
couch condom.
You had no
feeling there. Yeah. There was nothing.
Yeah.
Here's Tom Brady from SiriusXM talking about the Bears and, of course, citing what Aaron Rodgers did to the Bears.
You know, I was studying a little bit on the Bears and the Packers and watched a lot of that. That was another great game. And I, actually, before we get started, I wanted to say congrats to Aaron Rodgers, obviously. Not only is he a great quarterback, but I guess he's now a shareholder of the Bears. He was, you know, I saw a clip of him really enthusiastically telling the crowd how happy he is to own Soldier Field. And that's really great stuff. He owns the Bucks now, part owner of Soldier Field. So he's got a great career beyond football.
What do you own, Tom? How about upstate New York? You're 32-3. Have you staked the claim on Buffalo yet?
Not yet. Nope. I want to settle for a few things less than that. I'm cool with owning a few, just a few lucky autographs. That's what I'm the owner of.
How about possibly New York City? You're 30-8 against the Jets.
Oh, no, I'll just take the color green. I don't need the Jets. I'll just own the color green. I think that's a little bit better.
As usual, bad point by Jim Gray, because he doesn't own the city of New York because the Giants beat him in the Super Bowl twice.
Yeah, that was, I heard Carmen the Good Kid talking about this earlier today. That all sound like a canned pre-recorded whatever.
Like it was just, like an SNL bet.
I heard Carm going at him. He's corny. He is. I mean, he's perfect.
I still like him.
I know. And his team probably wrote the skit. But I'm with you. I mean, it's hard to dislike him.
Everyone's still talking about Aaron Rodgers.
He's got, you know, silky smooth skin. He looks like he's 18 still. He's the best that's ever played.
I just want to love a quarterback the way Tampa loves Brady, the way New England loved Brady, the way Green Bay loves Rodgers, the way Kansas City loves Mahomes. That's all I want. I want it where people aren't making fun of me for my love of Justin Fields. We're all in and we're like, yeah, he's great.
At this point, I'd settle for the way the Vikings fans love Case Keenum that year. I mean,
somebody higher than that.
Okay, well,
Drew Brees.
Okay, if that's, I'm not going to hold my breath because I'll pass out.
We've gotten everything. We had 3 titles. We had the worst hockey franchise in all of sports. And they won 3 cups in 6 years. The Bulls won 6 titles. The Cubs won for the first time in 108 years. The White Sox ended their long drought. Why would it be impossible to get the quarterback? We've seen everything else.
You're talking about Brady, like one of the all-time greats.
No, I want a top 5 quarterback.
In the history of the game?
No, of in current football. A guy like a Russell Wilson. I want my city to love its quarterback like Seattle loves Russell Wilson.
I do, too. I would like that as well, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
312-332-3776. Cameron Brate's going to join us at 5:15 from the Bucks. He played high school football at Naperville Central. We'll take your phone calls. Wife or radio partner coming up. 312-332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Couple of updates of some news going around. Patrick Williams, no minutes restriction for the Bulls tonight. Billy Donovan just met the media, said he's good to go. Conditioning still an issue, as Casey Johnson says. Also, we're monitoring a possible trade with a couple of different quarterbacks. They say the Dolphins are getting closer to trading for Deshaun Watson. And Tua would not go to Houston, according to multiple reports. So there could be like a separate Miami-Tua deal.
Is John McClain? Has there been any speculation on his behalf as to what the compensation would be? Has there been any mention to it?
There was a paywall on the article.
That sucks.
I'm just following Twitter and everyone.
All right.
Talking about, someone's reporting that Denver is not interested. Mike Kliss, our guy who grew up in Joliet, I believe, is reporting that Denver doesn't want Tua. So, like, people are speculating maybe Washington, Pittsburgh maybe. Maybe even Cleveland, if Baker's out for the year, would you trade for Tua? So there's action going on.
I've got Nick Foles for you. Come get Nick Foles.
Come get Nick Foles. Rich in Wisconsin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rich?
Hey, guys. I've been somewhat in the Pace bandwagon, especially with some of the mid-round picks, right? But, I mean, the guy has just wasted so much money in terms of, like, productivity per what he pays the players. I mean, even on the offense, right? I mean, Allen Robinson is tagged at 18. Foles is 6.6 this year. Graham's at 5.5. Dalton's at, I think, 10 for a dead cap and 5 against the cap. Cole Kmet's at 2. Anyways, I mean, it's $40 to $45 million.
You've seen the light.
And what have you gotten out of those guys?
Yeah,
I mean, I've been seeing the light, but I mean, I don't know that anyone squeezes less productivity out of the amount that they spend, and that's not even including draft capital. So, you know, we need to get these guys out of town. My question for you guys would be, it seems like Nagy's just got too many toys, right? They keep trying to churn over to get this offense, and obviously it ranks last with everything. So my question would be, if you started over, if you hit the reset button and you wipe the cupboard clean, where do you start spending this? You know, do you start with the O-line?
Yes,
and how do you inject talent into the roster?
I do. I mean, my first, if it was my job, my first order of business would be to do whatever I have to do to clean up the cap, which may be limited. I mean, there may not be a whole lot I can do based on previous decisions that have been made, but my focal point would be that offensive line. It would have to be. I believe it's the core of your issues offensively, and maybe they have found some of the answers with Tevin Jenkins and Larry Borum, but because both are injured, I can't tell.
They're like pitchers, though. You can never have too many.
Absolutely.
We're down to Elijah Wilkinson, and who then after that?
Listen, like, I don't believe they had drafted a tackle any higher than the sixth or seventh round in six years prior to this year.
Until this year.
So, I mean, to me, there's been a disproportionate amount of the resources that have been placed on the defense. The offense needs to be there. The attention needs to be there. I think that there has been this unnatural feeling and confidence that Matt Nagy and his approach and his staff were going to get the most out of a group, regardless of how much was spent on these guys. Remember when the offensive line, they thought the answer to the offensive line problems a couple of years ago was to hire Juan Castillo and tell Harry Heistand to get out of town.
Again, it was like the hitting coach scapegoat.
So I would start with
the O-line.
I would start with the O-line, fixing the O-line.
Robert on 355, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. I was listening on the podcast. I'm a little behind. with the Jalen Johnson fine, you know, if he's late, he's late. You know, you're fine. I wonder if Nagy got fines for all his late pressers, too.
A lot of people brought this up today, Robert.
I mean, listen, we can be upset with Matt Nagy for a number of things. That's not one of them. It's not a rule. No. It's not a rule set by the organization when Matt Nagy's going to speak.
I agree. You know, if he's late. And there's just a couple things I heard in his presser, you know, in my opinion, that, you know, kind of caught my eyebrow up, you know. And one of them was that he wants to finally start building identity. I didn't know it took 4 years for him to figure that out.
It's amazing. I'm glad you brought that up, Robert. Weeders hit on that a lot. It's crazy. Year after year, he still doesn't know what the damn identity of the team is.
That caught my eyebrow big. And another thing that caught my eyebrow is when he says he wants Justin to see what he sees on the field. And I'm kind of scared with that, with his offensive, you know, track record he has himself. And ever since he's had his presser with Fields being named the starter, he took one leap forward with that presser and like three steps back with every presser since then with the things that comes out his mouth. And real quick, Sylvie, the plastic on the couch, it was like the plastic that comes in the comforters now that you get, you know what I mean? And once you fall asleep on that plastic, forget it. You're part of that couch. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
I would argue that the plastic that was on my grandparents' couch was significantly thicker and more uncomfortable than the plastic he's talking
it's
about.
It's pretty thick, though, when go to, like, a Bed Bath & Beyond, and they roll up a comforter and into that plastic that it unzips?
Have you ever seen, like, a plastic, a large piece of plastic you put on a floor that serves as the rug for a rolling chair behind a desk? Have you ever seen, like,
It's put it on carpeting so you can roll in your desk.
Right.
It's the thick plastic.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Well, it's not moldable, though. The one thing is, it did bend, but it was very thick.
You know what? Let me introduce you to my dead grandparents' plastic coverings on their couch.
Oh, it was terrible.
It was horrible.
And then you'd go there with shorts, and it was a hot day. And, of course, my great-grandma wouldn't have her air conditioning on, so it was hot in there, and our skin would stick to the plastic. And as we'd sit down, let me make you some eggs.
What are you doing? I'm just trying to get one of these really, you know, tasteless, hard cinnamon candies. No! You're not allowed to have that.
The sugar-free candies you would have. Have a sugar-free candy.
I love them dearly, but
those are the memories.
An experience.
What we were talking about with Jalen Johnson, if you're just tuning into the show, Jalen Johnson was late for one of the report times. They're supposed to be in the building by 8:15. He walked in at 8:16. How do we know this? Well, we know this because he was fined $2,700, and he posted on his Instagram story the fine letter, and he was complaining about it, but he was late. And what's he doing?
Was he looking for public support?
I don't know what he was looking for. Like you said, what's the win there?
There is no win. When you do the risk-reward analysis, there is no reward.
And he has since deleted that from his Instagram. When we started, I told you, remember?
No,
you were so worried about the flu shot. Yeah. Peter in Miami, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Peter?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Great. My wife is a diehard Dolphins fan, so we live in a household that we hate Tom Brady. Our last time we saw Tom Brady was the Miami Miracle game, where they won with a lateral at the end, and my son saw that. So when the schedule came out, I decided to take my son to Tampa like you are taking him. And obviously, when they announced that Justin Fields was going to start, too, I wasn't going to make the trip, so I decided to get tickets. A couple weeks later, though, Metallica announced a special show at the Hard Rock Hollywood Casino Hotel that they're going to be playing. So I decided to cancel the trip because it would save me a 3.5-hour drive explaining to my son why our team lost and why we suck, because I'm trying to make him a Bears fan. So I guess it's a win-win for everyone.
So wait, are you taking your son, though, to experience Metallica?
Absolutely not. I'm going with my wife, unless Chris Black wants to come.
Oh, that's a good invite right there. That's a good reference.
It's a nice thing to do, Peter. Appreciate the invite, my man.
You're on your own for travel.
Yeah, you got to get there.
Yeah. All right. My son is not going to Metallica, but he's not going to see Tom Brady kick the Bears' butt. So.
You know what this means, Peter. I'm a bigger Bears fan than you.
Take that.
I am.
I think it means that you're avoiding. A child abuser is what it means.
I am avoiding 3.5 hours of driving, explaining to my son, and then have to deal with all the drunk rednecks over there in Tampa.
All right. We got to go, Peter. She always takes it a step too far, that Peter in Miami. 312-332-3776.
Like, are there going to be tears, like, on the plane ride home and, like, on the drive back? And, like, this is... Like, you're setting yourself up. Like,
no,
you know.
You know what? He wants to root for Tampa, and I've been on him for 2 weeks. You are not allowed to root for Tampa. We're going on this trip. We're going to see the Bears. You can root for Brady, but you got to root for the Bears.
Oh, see, that's not fair.
That's kind of hard.
That'll last until the first three and out. Good luck with that one.
Really intelligent kid. Probably more intelligent than the both of us combined.
He's a front runner. He sees all the first place teams, and he wants to root for all the best teams.
It's hard to ask a 7-year-old, though, to cheer for the quarterback of the team, but not the team itself.
Okay, fine. But then he's cheering for the Bears. We're spending money to go on the road to see a Bears game. Okay, I want him to see Brady and experience Brady, but no, you're not going to go oppo of two other kids, three other adults, and just all of a sudden start cheering for Brady and the Pirates.
I think you're responsible for the
confusion.
He's going
to go oppo of five people, but he's going to be with another 25,000.
I know, like, more than that.
Yeah, everyone else in your section is going to be rooting for the Bucks.
He's going to literally jump ship.
He's going to take his T-shirt off, and he's going to have a Mahomes jersey underneath.
He's going to say Tampa across his chest.
That's why we're getting him that obvious shirt, so I could say, hey, you're wearing a Brady shirt, but he's got the fourth down thing on there.
Four touchdowns.
He's going to troll us. Yeah, he's going to troll us. All right, we need a contestant for my wife or radio partner, 312-332-3776. Caller 20 gets to play. My clues today, who made the statement? Was it Waddle or my wife? It's coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
It's now time for my wife or my radio partner.
My wife. Now, see that? Always smiling. Hi, honey. Judging, watching. Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
My wife.
Does this make me look fat? Did you take out the trash?
Or my radio partner.
I look at myself in the mirror and I can't stand what I'm seeing.
It's a little cool today, isn't it? It's a little cool today for golf, isn't it?
My wife or my radio partner.
With Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
By the way, a separate side note, Nicholas H. on Twitter. That's terrible.
Tweet of the day.
Terrible Nicholas
Behind the glass,
H.
tweet of the day.
I will not.
Is he the one about the plastic on
the... the plastic on... You can search my mentions if you want to see.
Go ahead, read it.
That.
Yeah. No, Waddle, why don't you read that for us?
It's
you
not
want a few
true.
Days off?
If your grandparents...
Don't read it.
If your grandparents had plastic on their couch, it's
don't
because
stop.
Your grandma was a...
Jesus.
Come on. Shame on you, Nicholas H. All right, my wife or radio partner.
I can't confirm or deny because my lovely grandmother has been gone for quite some time.
Yeah.
But I highly doubt it.
Would you rather...
Highly doubt it.
Never mind. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I'm going to move on.
She was a strict Southern Baptist.
Still doesn't matter.
You never know, Waddle.
I mean, it's a physical thing, isn't it?
I get it.
All right, my wife
for
radio.
Knowing would bring her back, would you want to know?
That's what I was sort of going for. Like,
why would I care? Why do I care? Like, we spend too much time caring about things that don't really matter. Like, if that was, like, if that's...
I'm just saying.
Like, would you answer the question?
Like...
It doesn't matter to me. Yes, you tell me that's the problem.
I think the answer to this is you just rather would not know.
But the question
even if it
is,
was true, you'd rather not know.
Okay, that's fine. But the question is if it proved to be true and it brought her back to life, would you be okay with that?
Of course,
of course.
Yes, of course. Have fun, Papa. That's what I call my grandfather. That's what I would say. Have fun.
Well, now I know why he had seats on the floor at the United Center.
This is. Now I feel totally dirty.
Why?
Oh, boy.
We're human beings.
Have fun, Papa? Is that really what you just said?
I said that. Have fun, Papa.
I don't think it's Papa that's having fun there.
Yeah. And Grandma. All right.
What was Grandma's nickname?
Well, no, it was Grandma. That's what we, yeah. Right. Well, my great-grandma was Bubby. My grandma was Grandma.
Old Faithful.
My grandfather was Papa. Oh, God, now you went too far.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm coming in there, damn it.
Don't you dare come after us.
Don't you dare come to us.
How
dare you?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Like, I mean, like, to be all high and mighty, standing on your soapbox, pointing at us, don't say it. How dare you? You're going to get us a fine and you go there? I mean, like, really?
I'm going to meet you at the flagpole after the show. Oh, boy.
You know,
how can we do my wife a radio partner?
There's a joke, too. Maybe your mom and your grandma's there hanging out.
Hey, who's our contestant? Do we have a contestant?
Dan in Arlington Heights.
Dan hung up.
Dan, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
You got to top that, Dan. And I don't even know.
You guys are having a lot of fun in that studio. I came in at an interesting time, huh?
You did. We every day, 2 to 6. It's brought to you by our great friends at Swift & Sons American Steakhouse in the West Loop in the Fulton Market District.
That
Maynard D would kick us out again because that's a classy place with outstanding food. Chris Pandel, he's their executive chef, an award winner. He's going to cook you up a meal you're never going to forget. Rob Katz and Kevin Baim. Awesome at the Boca Restaurant Group, Restaurant Tours of the Year. They bring you Chicago Steakhouse with a modern twist. If you're across the street from Wrigley Field, even though there's no baseball going on there, Swift & Sons Tavern in that neighborhood called Lakeview.
Lakeview.
Wrigleyville is within Lakeview.
It's
right.
Beautiful over there.
All right, Dan, let's do this quick. You know the sound effects, all right? I'm just going to give you the clue. 2 out of 3.
And you win the steak.
And you win the steak. You get the gift card.
You get the meat, Dan.
Let's do it, guys.
Statement number one, Dan, have you ever done a TikTok? Have you ever done a TikTok?
I'm going to go with Waddle.
Very good. You asked me that today.
I had a TikTok story where people were actually developing tics and having to see doctors because they were having involuntary like tremors and stuff.
Abdallah, worth joining TikTok just to view? Not to post?
I mean,
you see everything you need to on Twitter.
On Twitter, okay. Yeah. People post their TikToks on Twitter and Instagram all the time. So if you're seeing a good one, it's already out there.
Who's got time for a TikTok?
Well, look, it's whatever's the hot social media thing. All right, all you need is one more, Dan. Statement number two. She's probably playing naked tennis by now.
That's your wife.
Wow. I'm not going to ask you to explain that. But I know I made that statement. My wife flew out to, she's in Miami right now. And I was just having a little fun at her expense, saying she's probably playing naked tennis down in Miami.
You were
right
concerned,
now.
First of all, that her bag was so heavy, and you were worrying what she was packing for just a tennis trip.
Yeah, I mean, gosh.
And then you made the statement that she's probably playing naked tennis right now.
She asked me at 6:30 this morning to carry her travel bag downstairs. It had to be 70 pounds, and I cracked my head on a light going on the way down. So it was not a pleasant morning.
Advantage in.
Yeah.
All right, statement number three. You need this to win, Dan. This is it. I get confused easily with everything going on.
Oh, man, I feel like Waddle could say that, every other statement, but three Waddles for the segment, I'm going to roll with your wife.
When you get what you deserve, Dan.
You thought too long there. Yeah. You got to go with the first reaction, and the truth is I really haven't talked to my wife since we got back from Vegas. She was working over the weekend. You can always
tell. She's never been happier.
I know. I'm going to Tampa this weekend, so I've been with Waddle nonstop. All I had were Waddle clues in
there.
There
you go.
So, sorry, hey, Dan.
Sorry, Dan.
Hey, thanks. I'm a huge fan. I've been listening to you guys since we're on the 9 to 12 spot. So
we appreciate you. Everything
you guys do. All right?
There you go. Stay safe, Dan.
Go.
Go Bears, was he saying?
Go to hell is what he said.
I think he's going to cheer for Grandpa. Yeah, go Gramps.
Go Grandpa.
Go
get them.
Go, Poppy.
Have fun, Papa. All right, you can watch
Big
us,
Poppy,
to see all the nonsense going on Twitch. It's twitch.tv, and our channel is ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's all brought to you by 3Chi. Cameron Brate from the Bucks is going to join us at 5:15. We'll set the table with a lot of things going on right as we speak. Big sports stories happening. Tell you about those in 2 minutes.